This is the voice of the Vortex. Hello, today is August 24th, 2010. I first heard of Paolo Bacigalupi when the Hugo-nominated podcast, Starship Sofa, broadcast his short story, Pump 6. That was 2 years ago, but I still remember every beat of that story. The crumbling buildings, the drug-fueled parties, the disease, and the decay. I was horrified by the vision of the future presented in Pump 6, and by how plausible it sounded. I grew up reading tales of nuclear apocalypse. When I read Mr. Bacigalupi's Hugo-nominated novel, The Wind-Up Girl, I was surprised to find a vision of the end of the world that was no less terrifying than those radioactive futures, but felt far more real. The Wind-Up Girl is a thought-provoking work of science fiction. I wouldn't be surprised to see this one take the Hugo. Now, for a more in-depth review, this time with spoilers. The Wind-Up Girl presents a future where the biosphere has been devastated by pollution, sea level rise, and by the release of genetically engineered organisms. The eponymous Wind-Up Girl is one of these, the genetically engineered servant of a Japanese businessman abandoned in Thailand to make her own way among people who hate her. Her story winds through the stories of the other characters. Her internal conflict was one of the most compelling in the book. Conditioned from birth to be a good girl, to be obedient, to love her master, she has to face the raw fact of her abandonment. Her choices, more than anyone else's, drive the story to its climax. To my surprise, she was one of the last people standing at the end. Many people have problems with Mr. Bacigalupi's technology. I can't say exactly why I'm willing to let him hand-wave the kink springs and genetically engineered elephants. The guns that fire razor discs bother me a little. Mostly, I just wonder what on earth Paolo was thinking. Mr. Bacigalupi has also been criticized for his portrayal of rape and sexual assault. To my surprise, I found that I was not bothered by the way he did this. I think it is because his portrayal never slips into Uncanny Valley. In many of the books I've read, characters react to sexual assault by feeding the victim sugar lumps while they hunt down the perpetrator and bring him to justice. In the real world, people react the way the characters in The Wind-Up Girl react to Emiko's sexual assault. They've already decided that the victim is not a person, and so they do nothing. Other people are bothered by The Wind-Up Girl's gloomy outlook on the future. Setting aside the long tradition of dystopian science fiction, consider that debate here in the Vortex still centers on whether or not problems like global warming even exist. How can we make progress towards solving the world's problems if we, as science fiction writers, refuse to confront people with the brutal futures that may await us if we ignore scientific fact? Now I face my own dilemma. I don't enjoy reading about dystopias. As a writer, I don't enjoy writing depressing stories. So while I support what Mr. Bacigalupi is trying to do, I don't think I'll be joining him anytime soon. And now, a note from a man who is awesome.
Hello, you big sillies. This is Matthew Sanborn Smith telling you that my podcast, Beware the Hairy Mango, at bewarethehairymango.com, is unquestionably more fun than a barrel of monkeys. And when you consider the feelings of the monkeys at the bottom of that barrel, I'm sure you'll agree. Each episode is a flash fiction story by me, along with my brilliant and unbalanced commentary. It's 5 minutes of downhill racing through Crazy Town, as you're about to taste.
Hello, Mutumba's Spaghetti Barn?
Son of a who cut your navel string?
Woo!
And when I say the length of a good bowel movement, I'm talking minutes, not inches. But I use Carter's all-weather chicken seasoning.
Now there was a guy who needed a good spooning. Ooh, I can't wait.
A giraffe walks into a bar and says, "The highballs are on me!" Who's gonna stop us? That's right. That guy over there. So let's get the hell out of here.
Granny's crannies. Seat smacking. Robust tortellini.
We was able to build a cow that was 90% utter.
That's the donate button over there, folks. Not an advertisement for Italian singing sensation Donate.
Vampires are skillful drywallers.
Jones suggested they run a classified ad for a spoon killer killer. He, of course, had to specify that what he was after was a guy that killed spoon killers, not a guy that used spoon killers as a weapon with which to kill.
If you're like me, you'd better get to the emergency emergency room immediately because I'm bleeding profusely.
You'll laugh, you'll puke, you'll blow out the candles. BewareTheHairyMango.com is not responsible for any damage to mailboxes, male women, or other androgynous or hermaphroditic postal carriers, regardless of transethnicity, crossover theosophy, or bastardized political movement.
That's BewareTheHairyMango at BewareTheHairyMango.com. Scraping the bottom of the barrel of monkeys.
Ew.
Isn't that nice? The fourth book in Fumi Yoshinaga's award-winning manga series, Oku, The Inner Chamber, has been released in the United States. It continues the story of Tokugawa-era Japan in an alternate history where a plague has wiped out most of the male population. Oku exemplifies the grace and power of Japanese comic books. I highly recommend it, even if, or perhaps especially, if you have never picked up a manga before. In local news, the Kansas City Worldcon Committee has announced their intention to bid for Worldcon 2016. The convention would be held in downtown Kansas City near the Power and Light Entertainment District. You can support the Kansas City bid on Facebook, LiveJournal, and Twitter by friending or following KC in 2016. The official announcement will be made at Worldcon 2012 in Chicago. Meanwhile, Kansas City will be licking all the cookies. In science news, tonight is the full moon. I've heard people blame all sorts of things on the full moon. They usually start around the third quarter, and sometimes keep going right through the next new moon. Multiple scientific studies have failed to show any significant effect of the full moon on human misfortune. A good summary of the data can be found in The Hundredth Monkey and Other Paradigms of the Paranormal by Kendrick Fraser. Depending on your definition, the full moon can last anywhere from one night to three nights. Either way, blaming the full moon for disasters throughout the month is simply unfair. On the next Voice of the Vortex, I will be discussing the Hugo Award winners. I can't wait. I still have my heart set on Spar, but more about that next time. The Voice of the Vortex is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike 3.0 license. To comment on this episode, drop an email to voiceofthevortex, all one word, at gmail.com. Show notes can be found at voiceofthevortex.podbean.com. This is Sarah Frost, the Voice of the Vortex, signing off.